NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
What's up, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi. I'm Naomi.
Oh. I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And today, just to add a little bit more strangeness to our podcast, I am going to be covering some of the two most bizarre alien encounter stories I have heard of thus far today.
Ooh,
and trust me,
yes.
Well, given that we've done so many just like murders and crimes and just terrible
things. I haven't
felt
we've done an alien in a while.
I thought so too, so I thought maybe it would be good, especially just like to take a break from all of the wild things happening around us lately. And maybe just dive into some like brain junk food about the unknown. Yeah. So, firstly, I would like to say that there are obviously so many podcasts out there and so many stories. There's like not really any way to prove these wrong or right in these cases. Like, it's very, there's like hardly any evidence, quotations, that's pursuable in the eyes of the law, but there are some that are really like taken seriously and investigated in like at the state level. And I found this really cool like pop-up map of that kind of stuff on the history.com website. And that's mostly where I got a lot of my resources from, aside from like some of the recordings from like the 1950s that are posted on YouTube. Yes, and the interviews at that time. I was going to touch on like the Hills alien abduction. That one is like the most popular one that we have thus far. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that before, either of you two, of Barney and Betty Hill.
I feel like I have.
Well, that one is like, of course, the go-to, and I was very well going to kind of like go to that one because that one's kind of shaped our perception of alien abductions thus far, because it was kind of groundbreaking in the U.S. at the time. And again, that's in the U.S. because there beforehand have been tons of UFO sightings in places like Brazil, and you know, Australia had like a shit ton for some reason. And then this Barney and Betty Hill is kind of like the one that got super sensationalized because it was this like small town couple. Oh, and I think this is kind of like inspiration to the couple in American Horror Story, The Asylum. We always bring up the show. I do anyway. But like the Asylum season, because that the first couple where it's like, what's his name, kid? I always call him Tate. Anyway, this character in that season is like in this biracial couple with a woman, and so was this couple. So Betty and Barney Hill were biracial, and they were like, I don't know, people liked them. They're from Wisconsin, I think, and they were just like very nice, you know, highly involved in NAACP stuff. And they basically had one of those experiences of like they were driving in the woods one time on their way back from Niagara Falls, and they got abducted, supposedly. And they were taken inside of the aircraft and done a bunch of weird sex things, like pregnancy tests. It was really strange. But that one is like the one that's like, no, that couldn't have happened. Why the fuck would they do that? And how could she even understand them? So like so many things around that one. But that kind of shaped our idea as a society of UFO sightings. And since
why is it always aliens doing weird sex stuff?
I don't know what that is about, to be honest with you. I've heard a lot of different theories. I'm kind of on the side of like, they are fake. These sightings are fake. And these representations of people's memories are real. But by fake, I mean perhaps it's not truly aliens, but rather a way for the government to instill fear in us. Because why would aliens want anything to do with this? If their technology is like so advanced, why would they need human subjects for research on that kind of stuff? So I'm kind of on the side of like, it's a theory out there and a strong popular one that some of these aircrafts people see in some of these abductions were actually done by our own government. So they have control over the way that we perceive these things. I forgot to say this at the beginning of the episode, but basically some warnings about this episode. I understand that the whole events and uncertainty and fear and all of the things that coronavirus has destroyed for so many of us are super sensitive. And if like maybe alien involvement to boot would be too freaky for you, you can tune out, or again, just take this with a grain of salt. Again, none of these things, I have zero hard earned proof. Obviously we have what we have from the people who experienced it firsthand and then other witnesses, but there is nobody out there who's going to collaborate on these things and say, yes, that happened. But why? I ask. Why? When we have so much evidence. So anyway, the two stories that I'm going to cover today that are really different from the Hill story and that have not made media surface is essentially, just to finish that train of thought I had before too, there are like talks that this is sort of the preparation timeline for the government to release the information of extraterrestrial presence in the universe, because for so long they had been using these types of stories like the Hills experience and stuff to make the public afraid of that type of technology, to essentially never give them the coping skills to handle that kind of unworldly perception of reality that comes with these weapons and different aircrafts and different technologies that we've seen. So essentially it's kind of like the whole, when they kind of make a false attack, for example, false flag in war, where they'll attack themselves to set off some sort of reaction in the public for their benefit. Does that make sense?
Like to justify an action in war?
Yes. So okay. Kind of like, for example, during the race wars of the 50s, a lot of the time it was like photos were taken of people of color attacking policemen rather than showing the actual events that led up to those attacks and the involvement of the policemen themselves, something like that, right? Where it's like, I'm using this event that creates this enemy in the public eye without giving any of the actual information behind it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
At its finest. Yes, so, okay, anyway. this first story I'm gonna cover, and there are gonna be two today. This one is called Report Number 13. Within Project Grudge. Okay. So this particular sighting happened in March of 1956 in New Mexico. Of course.
Of course.
So a series of Project Grudge Blue Book reports have been related over the years in connection with the USAF's investigation, and that's the United States aircraft, like foreign aircraft investigation team, into UFOs, which was supposedly terminated with the release of the Condon report in the late 1960s. So anyway, just to give you some preface, this was kind of like, have you guys ever heard of that? Oh, what is it called? Oh man, it's like one that's Project Blue Book. Have you heard of that before?
No.
I have not, no.
There is a current series on television about this team that cover, like, they'll investigate private like sightings of unidentified flying objects, for example, during World War II or after those times. This is like a government funded group to do research on those things. And even some of the people who are like higher up may say that they actually don't know anything either, but they are still government funded. So this particular report number 13 is about an incident that happened with Sergeant Lovett and then a Major Cunningham. within the American Air Force plant. What is it called? Air Force Base in New Mexico. So give you some background on that. This report allegedly said that one of those two gentlemen, Lovett and Cunningham, were abducted by a saucer-like aircraft. Okay. This essentially, one second.
Quick question. Said, this while they were flying their jets?
This was actually, they were not in active duty in any case during this time. They were just kind of like scounging the grounds for their missile trials that they're doing there. So it's more like kind of like a chillaxed, collect metal stuff and make sure this area is clean so we can keep going with our experiments. Because
I had heard of one where it was like a couple of people within the Air Force that were doing like just regular trainings, and they had been abducted from the, like, their whole aircraft disappeared. And they disappeared for a period of time. And I didn't know if that was, this was that one.
Was that in New Mexico too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was either in New Mexico or California.
That's really strange. And you see how, like, it happens to those people on those projects anyway? Like, what? Super weird. Anyway, no, this is not that one. This is really just about one person who got taken away. Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, there's like no official information on this report for some reason, but there are like tons of pages that have been released about every single other report that's been reported to Project Grudge. But apparently, like, it's all really superficial information, and they were like short-lived. Like, they only lived between 1951 to 1969, but now there are a lot of declassified files and documents from what they were researching. But now there's a new kind of group that was like the baby of Project Blue Book now. And that one's kind of active today, supposedly. And they just kind of researched some off the record stuff that we don't hear about in the news, and maybe stuff that is supposed to, like, they're just verifying it to debunk and to make sure for public safety reasons. But yeah, that's where we're like, why? But also, there are no official reports or information on this particular event, and the U.S. government denies its very existence for some reason, of course, obviously. So its details are known only from secondhand sources who claim to have seen and analyzed the documents. One of these accounts that I'm covering today came from the conspiracy theorist William Cooper, and I know he's not the most, you know, trustworthy source, but he supposedly claims to have been analyzing this report back in the early 70s. Okay. So the other came from a gentleman named William English, and he also says that he was analyzing the documents from this report back in the 70s as well. So basically what had happened was in these reports, and this is from first like telling of a survivor who saw and witnessed these events, Major William Cunningham. He was there, so not to get him confused with William English, who is just a researcher of these events. William Cunningham, a major, he was in this Air Force in New Mexico in March 1956 with Sergeant Jonathan P. Lovett, who was helping him in the White Sands Missile Testing Grounds near Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. So they were just kind of like creeping out that whole thing. And it's kind of strange that we have a major here who was like literally shit his pants from seeing this stuff. And what had happened to him, last I heard, he was just sent to the hospital because of how intensely he was disturbed by this event. So it gets pretty creepy from here.
That sounds like an X-Files episode.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, I'm pretty sure like within the first couple seasons, there's a X-Files episode where they go to a town where there's an Air Force base, and it was tied to aliens, and that people were just being, quote, sent to a hospital, and then they would not come back the same.
That's really weird and creepy. that one is probably semi like inspired by this, but at the time this hadn't been released to the public at all because of how gruesome the details were. I'm talking bad mutilation. But there is actually, this story kind of reminds me of Twin Peaks a lot because of some of the stuff that happens. And that's kind of like a more recent show that I think would be more inspired by this event. But picture this. You are a sergeant, very handsome sergeant, in the Royal Air Force, and you're helping your major scourge the grounds for some like missile remnants that were left over from the testing that you had been doing in that area. It's around 6 p.m. in the evening because you guys tried to avoid the sun. So it's not so dark yet, but getting there for sure. And you can feel the coolness of the desert surrounding you by this time, and you're probably ready to call it a day. You and your partner are alone and searching through the scattered debris from the rocket tests. You hear a loud scream after your partner had just walked across a little dune and you could no longer see him directly in your sight. You hear him scream and think, oh shoot, Lovett probably just cut himself or even maybe a snake bite. Running across the dune to try to help your partner, you find him. And well, you're not quite sure what to make of it, and things are happening at a rapid speed, and you barely have time to react. You see this strange serpentine, snake-like, almost mechanical arm wrapped around your partner's leg and dragging him away right in front of your eyes as he's screaming out of fear and pain.
What the fuck?
Can you stop it? Can you stop it? You look up and see that the arm is actually attached to a silver disc hovering in the sky above you, about 20, 30 feet above. You want to run, you want to scream, but you can't because apparently you're frozen in shock at the sight. Lovett is pulled into the disc, which then turns vertically to the speed of vertically in a high speed into the sky. After a brief moment and reaction sets in, you stumble to your Jeep to find your radio and call for help. That's literally what happened during this night. Now it gets fucking weird. And I would be scared out of my fucking mind if I saw that.
Yeah.
Especially since like you're a major and you're trained and yet you had no training for this type of thing. So I would like to kind of point that out as like not everyone in the government knows about this stuff. And they mostly too believe that it's not real. and because it's easier than seeing what you just saw. Because this aircraft in the 50s, there is nothing that can move vertically at an angle in that much amount of speed. So there's like, this is the first time of him actually seeing anything like this. Despite your rank, this is something that really you're distraught about and sent to the hospital base, the base hospital. You are not sent to receive care, unfortunately, but for observation. There's a book called Military Encounters that did confirm that base personnel at the time did see an unidentified radar contact near Holloman at the time Lovett vanished. So there are actually like 20 other people who saw something in the air. They didn't know what was happening though. So search parties were dispatched and found no trace of Lovett for 3 days until his corpse, unfortunately, was found about 10 miles from the site of the abduction.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So there were search parties all through the desert for days, and then finally he turned up like in the morning near the base, like only 10 miles or so, almost like returned, like, here you go.
I guess I have a question of like, what is someone of his status and like level doing collecting shrapnel?
Right. And it was really strange, right? Well, I mean, the major and him were out there for those purposes, probably making sure the site was ready for tests again next day, that sort of thing. Yeah. So like the major and the sergeant, it was probably just like this whole, okay, you guys are ready to go. You guys can head out. Sergeant Lovett, stay behind. Help me with this really quick. That kind of thing.
Okay.
Because the major himself was like working with him too. So the major is actually of higher rank. The sergeant was the one who's pulled, and it freaked him out because it's almost like he was sort of responsible for this person's well-being at the time. And it really hurts their hierarchy when one of their the ones they're supposed to be protecting and were protecting them are gone. So
yeah,
that's pretty sad. Anyway, all indications suggested that the corpse had been exposed to the elements for at least 48 hours. Yet there was no explanation for the third day. Because by that time, there should have been that amount of decomposition and exposure to the elements. And the autopsy only left for more questions. The autopsy revealed that Lovett's tongue had been removed from the lower portion of his jaw. Which is really weird.
I'm good, thanks. His eyes
had been gouged out. The most disturbing of all, his anus had been removed.
Excuse me?
Wait, what? The aliens took this man's butt. Are you serious?
They needed a souvenir, apparently.
I'm going to say something that's going to gross y'all out really bad. So if you're easily grossed out by this time, I'm sorry. But also, throw back to my old like floating cows episode, because a lot of parallels here. It's really weird. So his anus had been removed, organs and all. An incision had been made just under the tip of his chin and extended all the way back down to his esophagus and larynx. The surgical precision had surprised the coroner, and he noticed how the anus and genitalia had been neatly extracted like a plug.
Ew!
What? Okay.
And yes.
So they're just like, let's just detach the anus and pull everything out from there.
Basically, yeah, ew, that's exactly
like
right.
Like a plug.
And his genitalia with that, too.
Jesus. So,
it's pretty fucked up.
Oh, honestly. Man.
And there was never any question of, like, was this murder? Like, not once have I ever seen that before. They didn't care. Like, they didn't deem it murder. They don't know what to deem it. So, like, no, a human being was not suspected to have done this, even by officials. Thank you very much. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Also, like that floating cows episode, Lovett had too been drained of all of his blood. And what was even stranger was that there was no vascular collapse that usually is associated with death by bleeding. The report commented that the anus and genitalia had been removed as though a plug, right, we covered that, which in the case of the anus extended all the way to the colon. In case you were wondering, I know I was. I was like, how far? What is the anus? What is that?
What is the anus?
Define anus.
Define the root of anus. I know. And a lot of the reports, like, they all say that too. Like, just the anus had been removed. And I'm like, what? From the exterior only? Or...
Yeah.
Though blood reports 1 through 12 have been declassified, along with 14, no official or accounting of report 13 exists. Still. This report, like all extraterrestrial reports, is usually debunked, although substantial evidence has been presented and is now available to the public. I'm talking photos. I couldn't find them. All I could see is that in the reports, it's like, the photos are black and white and grisly.
And grisly.
But I'm assuming they kind of like didn't have your obvious, funeral and that kind of process with this, since they didn't want any questions. I actually have no idea if the victim's family even knew about it or if he just had gone missing. Also noted was that when the body was found, there were a number of, this is so strange, you guys. There were a number of dead predatory-type birds within the area who apparently had died after trying to partake of the subject's body, the sergeant's body.
What the fuck?
Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah. And let's see. Hold on. Oh, yeah. That there were also numerous occasions in which the UFO itself was tracked alongside a fired missile, and on one occasion said the missile was observed being taken aboard a UFO while in flight. The speeds indicated were absolutely phenomenal. So it looks like people had actually seen, like, the UFO prior to this experience beforehand. And I wonder if it was because, like, that area is for high activity, that Lovett just found himself the wrong place at the wrong time. And maybe it was like a well-known fact that this happens. Maybe that's why they didn't report it, is because this is common, question mark.
The alien's like, you almost hit me with your missile, so I'm taking this guy's anus.
Honestly. They're like, we wanted one. We told you guys one. You started shooting us down. However, this case had several others that are parallel to the events that occurred. For example, in 1988, a body was allegedly found at the, this is a hard word to say in Brazil, it's Portuguese, but it was the Guarapiranga Reservoir in Brazil. According to reports, the victim had been dead for 48 to 72 hours, but there was no sign of decomposition. The eyes, ears, tongue, and genitalia had been removed, as had the digestive organs. Officials were never able to identify the victim there. So it's not the first time something like this has happened around the world. Who knows how often people just see these corpses like that. It's really weird. I would die.
I have questions. I have so many questions. Just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this was really scary, for sure. I would not want to be, like, just chilling in the desert one day, and then, bam, I get pulled away by this, like, snake-like mechanical arm.
I just keep seeing the metal arm from the robot in the first Incredibles movie.
Yeah, all I keep thinking about is Rick and Morty. Like, this is some Rick and Morty shit. Just, like, some crazy chaotic thing happens, and then, like, someone's dead. I don't know.
Their anus is gone.
Rick and Morty is just trying to show you all the real truth behind the government. Just
exactly. Perfect. There's actually like an episode in the most recent season that I've been watching recently that like where like Terminator snakes come to Earth, and that's all I could think about while you were talking about this.
Oh my god.
And that's all I could see was like fucking Terminator snakes.
Oh my god. Yeah, so supposedly some people do believe that these aircrafts that are like people are seeing the most of are actually replicas that the government just like has backed up. They're like, we got to do our regular fear inducing events, people. Got to keep the people on their toes.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So, I know. That is especially scary.
What did this guy do that pissed off the government so much that they were like, we're taking his anus this year?
I mean, honestly think these things are random.
Who gets their name picked from the hat?
So, sorry, whoever's out there, listeners. If you got alien abducted, you're not special. It's just because it's random. Special. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. You are special, and I want to hear all about it.
Please talk to us.
Okay, alien encounter story number two. By the way, are you afraid of aliens? Do aliens freak you out in movies and such?
Yes.
Particularly in that one where it was like, was it the third kind or whatever?
The fourth kind?
Oh, yeah, that one.
Those encounters.
That one is really creepy. Supposedly, in some of these reports, they like claimed that people who do report a third and fourth kind, which for some reason people who do experience this, their first go-to is the FBI. They report it to the FBI.
Which don't do that.
It's like, okay, technically it is foreign, but like, I don't know, I just feel like it doesn't help them. But back in the day, quote-unquote, there were like islands of isolation for people who encountered the third and fourth kind experiences. How weird is
Wait,
that?
Alien islands?
Yep.
Oh
no,
my
no,
god.
No. People who had actually experienced it. The government like chose to like kind of like a what is it when you go into like when they secure your like identity and you have witness protection. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Alien witness protection.
Basically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's like alien camp, but worse.
Oh god. And these poor people, like, what if the aliens just know where to find them? Like, yeah, I want that.
Which they totally would.
Made a just baby.
Put them in one place.
Oh my god, there's this other dude, and this is not one of that I'm reporting, but he was also in Brazil and was abducted off of his farm. And the aliens, like, made him have sex with this humanoid that had really blonde hair and red, red pubic hair. That's, like, what I remember. And she was like, patted her belly after intercourse and was like pointed upward, and he's like, she's gonna raise the baby in space. So Janae, that's totally Rick and Morty-esque.
Yeah.
This is like, what? Skinwalker Ranch.
The alien like no. makes this fucking.
We're never
like,
talking about that.
holographic humanoid for your liking, so they can take your sperm. Really fucking weird.
Ugh. I don't like anyway. That.
I know, I told you, this is just an escape for you to think of all the weird stuff, and then now you're going to have bad dreams about getting abducted, which I also want to hear all about.
We have an email, please talk to us.
Honestly, we're in quarantine. Dude, the days are long.
We were talking about fucking Signs the other day in my house, and I forgot how terrifying that movie is.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
Terrifying. And Mel Gibson's so stupid. God damn.
Yeah, he's the worst. But that movie's good.
Yeah, that movie is good. And crop circles. Yep, that's a thing. That's a real thing. Anyway. So all right, second story. This one is actually more popular because it happened to like a whole team of GIs. So this one is when dozens of Korean War GIs claimed the UFO made them sick. That's the title. So in May 1951, 1 year into the Korean War, PFC Francis P. Wall had and his regiment found themselves stationed near Chorwon, about 60 miles north of Seoul. Okay, Seoul in Korea. While preparing to bombard a nearby village with artillery, like assholes, the soldiers saw a strange sight up in the hills, which they explained was like a jack-o'-lantern, which I thought was really cool. I was like, ooh. Come wafting down across the mountain. So these jack-o'-lantern sort of like lights are just kind of like bubbling around in the mountains. And they like shoot at them. And it makes the things notice them. Yes, of course, obviously.
Yeah, no shit.
I watched... The craft made its way down into the village where the artillery air bursts were starting to explode. So they had like already kind of set up their bombs and such on this village. And they noticed that the jack-o'-lantern lights were like, I don't give a fuck. And literally just flew through this airburst and without damage. So they were unharmed and literally flew through their like combustion. Boom, boom, kaboom. And without a scratch. So, again, the team began shooting at it with armor-piercing bullets from an MI rifle that, again, made no damage on the ship or this aircraft. The ship was now glowing blue-green instead of the orangey jack-o'-lantern color it had been before. It then started behaving erratically, as someone does when they're shot. and the bullets made zero damage, so now it just looks like they angered a hornet's nest, basically. Wall's recollection of what happened next are stranger still. He says, we were attacked, swept by some form of a ray that was emitted direct impulses in waves that you could see visually only when it was aiming directly at you. That is to say, like a searchlight sweeps around the segments of light, you would see it coming at you, that kind of thing. The rays from this pulse that was emitted from the ship caused them a lot of pain, he explained. It was unique, to say the least. It felt as though they were being penetrated somehow through their skin. It burned and tingled, he said. The man ran into underground bunkers for protection, and boom, the aircraft shot off at a 45-degree angle. So it's just like something they had never seen before either, kind of like moving rapidly. So they thought, are these Russians?
Are these Russians?
Yeah, they were like, what could have possibly attacked us just now? And they were all kind of concerned because, yeah, some of them were like crying. I mean, it's a weird experience to have this happen, like, especially since you're in war mode anyway, and you think you're being attacked by people, and it's not people, unless you think they've built this, like, so literally they thought it was a Russian ambush, and they had created this, like, war technology somehow, and I was like, dude, the Russians were not that good at this time. 3 days after the incident, the entire company of men were evacuated by ambulance. So 3 days after this, with special roads cut to haul out those who were too weak to walk. When they finally received medical treatment, they were found to have dysentery and an extremely high white blood cell count. Richard F. Haynes, a UFO researcher from NASA, said they had symptoms that sounded like the effects of radiation. And again, they were treated for their, you know, their health problems that were immediate and needed attention. But otherwise, they were just told that they were sick from this sort of like bacteria that they must have contracted in Korea, and that they had some sort of mass hallucination experience. And they have not radiation effects, but something from like a virus. But a lot of them had PTSD from the event. And yeah, so that one's more popular. But I thought that one was kind of cool, since the effects had been long-lasting, and even some of their family members still have that effects from the radiation they experienced. And all I can think of was the hills have eyes.
Oh, God.
Yikes. That one's arguably worse.
Yep. Yeah. So to sum this all up, they now are saying that as these attacks were planned by our own government, the final steps to the revelation of alien and extraterrestrial life force here in the U.S. and in our world is coming soon after we've been quarantined for so long. That this was actually part of the plan. And we're to expect soon information about legit extraterrestrial communication. But they're going to stage it as though we're being invaded, almost like the virus itself has been planted by a, you know, extraterrestrial planet as war, like warfare towards us.
Interesting. It's not
true. Yeah. Just like how, you know, 9/11, just kidding. But yeah.
That's so weird.
They're just going to paint a new alien enemy.
That's so interesting that that's the route that this took. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. So were these planted events? Were they real events? Are there even aliens? Are there aliens? Are the
They're
ones
aliens.
That
They're
to
aliens.
Be here on this planet? Probably.
I'm sure there's aliens. I'm sure that they've visited us. I also believe that, yes, it's probably also the government.
It's a mixture of the both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet aliens aren't trying to hurt us, probably.
No.
Unless, like, someone's pissing them off. Like, stop pissing them off.
Yeah, because, like, what would they want with us? We don't have anything good. Our DNA sucks.
Useless.
Our DNA sucks.
We're monkey men. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's just like assimilation of fake stuff.
It's like you would think, like, oh, we're going to go to another planet and see, like, if there's life there. And if you come across life, you think you want to observe it and see what it's like. But then again, I think about, like, if we went to another planet and saw that there was life, I can't guarantee that humans wouldn't be like, let's attack it.
Well, France, there are countries. There are countries who, like, do make peaceful contact. Like, France had, just before this, like, newer president was elected there, they had conducted an experiment to contact UFO sighting, and they did it peacefully, and it worked. I don't know about it a lot. They had, like, not released a lot of information until that guy was out of presidency, but you can, like, look up some of that stuff on there. I didn't get a chance to. But apparently they did make peaceful contact. So I wonder if it's just, like, something our government uses so that we don't feel too comfortable progressively towards that direction. I don't know why. Maybe, like, it works better for them to not have newer technology that we don't need gas and such to rely on.
Right.
And it might be just easier for them to make us think it's not real. That way we don't welcome it more. Yeah.
Right.
But other countries might be like, we're all for alien progressiveness.
Yeah.
We love
I think
races.
You're right.
Yeah,
like, it depends on where it is. Because if America found it, we'd be like, let's fight it and take their shit.
Yeah.
And let's build, like, these nuclear bombs, even though they would fucking squish us like a bug.
Well, and, like, the idea of, like, hey, there's a new group of beings. Let's make you terrified of them so you don't trust them. That sounds exactly. like a very American mm-hmm. thing to American thing do. To like, yeah, don't trust this unknown group of people or things.
They see us as threats because of this weapon. And that's the concern that people should have, is not, the fear should be reversed. Like, I don't think these aliens want anything to do with us. Obviously, they probably would have killed us a long time ago. If they did, it's not.
Yeah, if they have shit like the stuff that they're talking about in this, like, they could have wiped us out a minute ago.
Oh my god, exactly, right? Like, if any of this stuff were real, they have technology far beyond ours, which just makes you think, like, are we being stupid, like, the way that we are, where we're like, we have bigger guns and toys than you guys do, because we don't. We don't.
Yeah,
and if there were ever inspiration for them to kill us, it would be because of our stupid, like, you know, I'm going to push this button, like, threatening, menacing ways we have mm-hmm. as Americans, even though they might not want anything to do with us. So, yeah, that would be our downfall, not them coming in and like, attacking us. But it just makes you think, like, most of the, like, I've never heard an alien encounter that was good. And if anyone else has, like, let me know. Well, except in, like, spiritual ways, you know? So people do really believe making contact in different ways. And those experiences have been bountiful and plentiful and positive, but we never hear about those. Why is that?
Interesting.
Right? Very
interesting. I never thought about that.
Plus, Janae's favorite animal is an octopus, and that legit to me is an alien.
Oh, yes.
They look, are, sound, act.
They're highly intelligent.
Very intelligent.
Adaptable as hell.
They're aliens.
Peaceful and gentle and kind and wise and all-knowing.
Yep.
Unless it's a big octopus. So, those things will kill you.
Oh, yeah. Don't fuck with that.
Occupy.
So basically the lesson is, America, stop swinging your dicks around if you want to talk to aliens.
Yeah, stop it. Like, don't have a pissing contest. Instead, try to integrate. And also, if you guys are holding back some fucking technology that can help the world, like, for the rest of our lives, don't be a dick. Go ahead and release it. Maybe that's, like, our generation's purpose, is to kind of, like, revolt against that concept of, like, we should be, even if you don't believe in extraterrestrial life, we should be really ahead of where we are right now, technology wise. And it just makes you think, like, the access that some of us have, like, potentially they do have technology, and maybe people with billions and billions of dollars have access to it, but do we? No. So, like, why would they give us a car that can run on water, right?
Right.
Munch on that. Not a monster. Not. What do we call our fans? Nam Nab fans? Nam Nab? Dudes, yes.
Dudes.
That's true.
I'm also a fan of Monsters.
Monsters is also good. I like that, too.
It's cute.
We should leave it up to them in a vote.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, let's do a poll or something on Instagram.
Fuck yes. Yeah.
What should we call you guys?
Suggestions are now open.
I'll put it up today. Yes. But, yeah.
You
go
have
check
creepy...
out the photos associated with this episode on our Instagram, @notaboogeyman.
Yeah.
And also tell us some of your encounters. I'd love to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, email us.
Please email us. That'd be so cool. We're at namnab@gmail.com. Nope. Not a monster? Not a boogeyman @gmail.com?
Not a monster, not a boogeyman. Yep.
Our name is so different everywhere because of the fact that not a monster was taken.
Yep. So not a monster, not a boogeyman @gmail.com. And we will see you guys next week.
Yes.
Not a monster was taken? Can I just... Why was that...
Nam-Nam was also taken.
I'm not a monster. Nam-Nam was also taken?
Yes.
Probably some angsty 13-year-old who was like, yeah, that's a good username.
I think Nam-Nam was originally taken by some fitness person when I first was trying to make our Instagram, like, last year.
Fuck them.
Yeah, it was making me really upset.
Interesting. Okay. But anyway, peace out, dudes.
See ya.
Bye.
Don't get abducted.